Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are the 49ers still the best team in the NFC? I don't know. I'll discuss that and more next on the Grant Cohn Show. Live from Minneapolis. Good morning. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show, powered by BetUS, sponsored by BetUS, the number one sports book in all of our hearts. I'm on a little early today because I'm still in Minneapolis. I'm flying out tonight, 2 hours ahead here, and I have to check out of the room soon. So figured I would do a stream now. Going to do a stream with Ryan later once I find a place to do that, which I should be able to do in this glorious, wonderful city that I love so much. Are the 49ers the best team in the NFC still? That is the question. They're 1-1. If the season ended today, they would be the 10th seed in the NFC. Which is not going to cut it. New Orleans 2-0, Minnesota 2-0, Seattle 2-0, Tampa 2-0. Those are four undefeated teams, as well as Philly that they play tonight. They're 1-0. So what do we know from the Niners? What's going on with them, their offense, their defense? Let's break it down. Let's start with the head coach. He didn't coach well in this last game. He got out-coached. So what is the book on? Really, his last, two of his last three games, he hasn't coached well. Super Bowl. And this one, similar things happen. What is the book on Kyle Shanahan? For whatever reason, Robert Saleh didn't follow it. It seemed like he was trying to do his thing. But the book on Kyle Shanahan is, well, I'm not even going to say Saleh didn't follow it because he just couldn't stop the run. The book on Kyle Shanahan is play man-to-man coverage and bring pressure. I don't think Saleh brought a lot of pressure. You got to play man-to-man coverage and bring pressure. That's what you do. And you live with the results. If you hang back and play zone, you lose. Kyle beats you. Brock beats you. Debo beats you. Kittle beats you. Everyone beats you. But if you play man-to-man coverage and bring pressure, you lose. Why? Because a lot of reasons. The 49ers offensive line isn't that good. One. Two. The 49ers receivers are overrated. All of them. They don't beat man-to-man coverage quickly. Debo doesn't beat man-to-man coverage at all. Kittle is a yak guy as well. He's not going to instantly uncover against man-to-man coverage. And frankly, neither will Ayuk. Ayuk is running routes down the field on slants and quick stuff. He's not going to be open instantly the way Wes Welker was 15 years ago or Julian Edelman was once upon a time. So you have, first of all, you have a scheme that's more set up to beat zone than man. You have an offensive line that can't hold up that long. You have receivers who don't get open quickly. And you have a quarterback who has wheels but is afraid to use them. he could run a lot more than he does. Sam Darnold ran a lot yesterday, and it was a big difference in the game. Purdy doesn't run that much. If you play man-to-man coverage, you're really daring the quarterback to run because all those DBs are turning and chasing receivers. There's no one spying Brock Purdy. There's no one really assigned to Brock Purdy. There's no quarterback spy. That scramble is wide open if he takes it, and he doesn't. So you have a quarterback who's going to stay in the pocket and try to show his head coach that he can go through his reads and that he's a real pocket quarterback, and you have a pocket that's collapsing and receivers who aren't getting open, and a coach who doesn't necessarily do a lot to beat man-to-man coverage schematically. He's just asking his guys to win. He's not putting out patterns with man beaters, crossing routes, and the like. And so now you have a passing game that is 10th in yards per attempt and 22nd in touchdown. I have one touchdown through two games, one touchdown pass through two games, and a pick, and they should have had a second one, but they called it a fumble. So, like, why would you do anything else? Maybe some defenses just aren't set up to do this. It's also not what the 49ers face in practice. Like, their defense is a hangback, play zone, rush four defense. That's the kind of defense Kyle Shanahan can tear apart. Strange that he has that as his own defense, because what gives him problems is pressure man-to-man coverage. And maybe that's why the Niners drafted Ricky Pearsall. Maybe they feel that when he's 100% healthy, he'll be the guy in the slot who can get open right now. Right now against pressure. Because you have to have that option. And yeah, Christian McCaffrey helps, but we've seen teams use this strategy against the Niners with McCaffrey on the field and still hold them to like 19 points and win. I mean, the Vikings did this to the Niners last year with McCaffrey on the field. It's the same strategy. 8 in the box, man-to-man coverage, ring pressure. And the downside is, well, McCaffrey's going to get you a little bit as a receiver in that case. Who cares? That is not where he's going to win the game as a receiver. You live with that. The running back is never the primary option in a passing game. Teams treat him like he is, but you have to just accept that if you play that way, it's the right way to play against the Niners. And he could go for 8 catches. But those 8 catches might get 80 yards. Maybe. More like 60. I mean, McCaffrey, in his prime last year as a receiver, went for 564 yards as a receiver, 7 touchdowns. That's not where he's going to beat you. In the passing game, like, overreacting to him will make everyone else really good, as we saw last year. So shut down Ayuk, Debo, Kittle. It's doable. All you got to do is man up. Live with whatever McCaffrey's going to give you in the, you know, the check, the swing passes and the option routes. Like, live with that. Tackle. And sort of dare Purdy to beat you with his own legs, because he won't. That's the book on the Niners right now. That's the book on Kyle Shanahan. And this is right around the time where he needs to evolve. You always have to stay one step ahead of the competition. And it seems like in the past he could. When he had McDaniel, I mean, there were so many interesting wrinkles. There was the Debo Samuel at running back. There was Raheem Mostert out of nowhere. Then McDaniel left, and they were running out of ideas. They traded for Christian McCaffrey. That gave him endless ideas. Now he's hurt. Now even with McCaffrey, the book is out. Play man-to-man coverage. Don't worry about him. Don't overstress about him as a receiver, because there's only so much damage a check down can do. So, we'll have to see. Someone says Pearsall can't beat press man. Yeah, it's true. They really do need someone who can beat press man, and I'm not sure who it is. So, that's what's going on. Let's talk about Brock Purdy, though. What is wrong with Brock Purdy? He's not playing like the Brock Purdy we saw last year. Let's compare the numbers. Brock Purdy this year and last year. Last year, he led the league in quarterback rating and yards per attempt and touchdown percentage. Touchdown percentage was 7. That means on 7% of his throws, he threw a touchdown. The year before, 2022, 7.6%, and that was over 5 starts. So he was a touchdown machine 9.6 yards per attempt last year, led the league. 13.9 yards per completion, led the league. 113 quarterback rating, led the league. This year, two games. Completion percentage of 72.3, up from last year, 69.4. That's great. So he's essentially, he's making tight window throws. He's accurate. Yards per attempt down to 8.5. Touchdown percentage down to 1.5. 1.5. His one touchdown in two games. That's very un-Brock. And his quarterback rating is 96, which is nothing special. Let's see where he ranks in terms of quarterback rating right now. I'm just giving you stats as context. I'm not just going to give you a stats analysis, but just so you know, he's currently ninth in quarterback rating behind Jaden Daniels and Geno Smith and Sam Darnold and Kyler Murray. So it goes Derek Carr 142. I'm going to come back to Derek Carr. What's going on with the Saints is very interesting. Baker Mayfield 129, Josh Allen 124, Kyler Murray 122, Sam Darnold 111, CJ Stroud 104, he's good. Geno Smith 97, Jaden Daniels 97, Brock Purdy 96, Joe Burrow 95, Justin Herbert 95, Gardner Minshew 95. So he's right in that Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. I mean, you could say, hey, he's in the same area as Joe Burrow. That's great. He's also in the same area as Gardner Minshew, and he has a worse quarterback rating than Geno and Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold. It seems to me that what's going on with Purdy is similar to what happened to Jimmy. His numbers right now are very Jimmy. One-to-one TD, high completion percentage, but no touchdown production, struggling to score in the red zone, lots of sacks. How about that one? Can we get the sack numbers? Sack percentage, Brock Purdy, 11.67. So that Trevor Lawrence, 12, that's the most. Caleb Williams, 12, that's the second most. Jaden Daniels, Gardner Minshew, Brock Purdy. So his sack percentage, fifth most in the league. He used to be so much better. Last year, his sack percentage was 5.9. Now it's up at 11. So that is, I think, something we need to talk. Why is he suddenly getting sacked twice as much as last year? You could say, okay, well, he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. That's probably part of it. That's probably part of it. Having the best checkdown option in the league helps you avoid sacks. But I also feel like Purdy is doing the thing that Jimmy started doing under Kyle, which is just stand still and play like a robot. What we liked about Brock was his improvisational ability, his playmaking ability, his ability to spin away from pressure and extend a play and use his legs to run or throw downfield. Sort of his ability to transcend Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is good. He has a good system. I mean, it's his dad's system. It's tried and true. He puts the bells and whistles on it. It works. But it's not going to get you a Super Bowl on its own. You need a quarterback who can sort of add something to it. And that was Brock. Because Jimmy had that improvisational ability before he got here, but then he tore his ACL and Kyle Shanahan slowly beat it out of him. Because Kyle doesn't seem to want his quarterbacks to ad-lib. He wants everyone to know that his scheme works every time, and if the quarterback would just freaking execute, he could prove it. So with Brock, it's like he's in this position where he's trying to get the organization to give him a huge extension next year, $60, $65 million a year. And how is he going about proving it? Is he going off script? Is he making plays like he used to? No. It seems like he thinks the best way to show that he's elite or that he's a franchise quarterback or that he's worthy of this extension is to stand still and be a pocket quarterback and follow Kyle's directions like a robot. That didn't work out so well for Jimmy. It's not going to work out well for Brock. He's going to lose his confidence and or get injured. If you don't believe me, ask Jimmy. Go back and read Jimmy Garoppolo's Wikipedia. He was a quarterback for this team long time. He's now the backup for the Rams, but he was here. He made a lot of money. They thought he was the guy. And he might have been. I don't know. It just seems like what Kyle Shanahan does to quarterbacks. He turns them into robots. And I got some stats for you. So Brock Purdy, last year, just look at his rushing. Last year, he rushed 2.5 times a game. Year before, also 2.5 times a game. So that's his rhythm. He'll take off 2-3 times a game. Last year, he only averaged 3.5 yards per attempt. This year, he's averaging 7.5 yards per attempt. He's a good runner, but he's only scrambled 3 times in 2 games. 3 times. Gotten 2 first downs. Successful, 66% success rate. 1.5 times a game. And he said after the season that what he wanted to work on was running more. He's running less. What's interesting, you could argue one of the best games of his career, the biggest win of his career, put it that way, NFC Championship game against the Lions, down 17 at halftime, brings him back. His numbers weren't great in that game, 89 quarterback rating, but he freaking won a game that it looked like he was going to lose, and he had to do a lot, do for 267. But to me, the biggest plays that Purdy made in that game, his biggest win of his career, were on the ground. He rushed 5 times for 48 yards in that game. That's 9.6 yards per attempt. That was the difference. You know how many times Jared Goff ran in that game? None. You know why? Because he's a freaking robot. And that's who Purdy's turning into right now. If he's not going to run, he's just going to be Jared Goff. He's not freaking Peyton Manning. He can't stand in one spot. He's not Tom Brady. He can't win like that. Sam Darnold was better than him yesterday. Straight up, Sam Darnold was less of a robot than freaking Brock. And Brock's responsible. It's his life. It's his career. But it does seem like this is Kyle's pattern. He does this to his quarterbacks. And I don't know Kevin O'Connell, but it seems like he's a good coach who gets the best out of his guys and doesn't wear them down mentally and allows them to play free and confidently. Similar system. I mean, it's essentially the Rams system, but just his temperament as a coach seems to be great for the quarterback. It seems like, I mean, do you think Kyle would be able to do this? What the Vikings are doing right now with Sam Darnold, would Kyle be able to do that with Sam Darnold if he was the coach, if he was the quarterback here? I don't know about that. So with Purdy, I don't know what he's doing, but Brock, if you're watching, you need to run. Because you trying to like do everything Kyle says isn't going to get you paid. He's going to use it against you. You're going to have a down season. And you're going to say, well, you understand, right? Like I was just executing, following directions. And he's going to be like, no, you made my offense look bad. It's your fault. He needs to make plays, dude. The whole like stand 6 sacks in a game. A lot of those sacks happened when he was holding the ball a long time, not moving. Run. You can do it. You're good. You're fast. I don't understand this problem. Will Kyle not let you? Then screw him. You think Steve Young wouldn't scramble because his coach told him he wanted to pass more? Like all his coaches told him they wanted him to pass more. Let's look at Jeff Garcia numbers. These are quarterbacks, Jeff Garcia, Steve Young, guys who were handpicked by Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh liked his quarterbacks to run sometimes, especially if they're facing man coverage. That's wide open. So Jeff Garcia, older than Brock Purdy with the Niners, 3.5 attempts a game, 4.5 attempts a game, 4.5 attempts a game, 4.5, 4.3. Like, that's how you should be running. 4 or 5 times a game. NFC Championship game, you ran 5 times. Steve Young, how many times did he scramble? 8 with Tampa, 5.5. Then he comes to the Niners, 87, 3.5, 2.5, 3.5, 2.5, 91, 6, 92, 4.5. He's the MVP. 93, 4.5, 94, 3.5. I mean, 95. He's 34 years old. He scrambles 4.5 times a game. Let's look at Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that he needs to be Lamar Allen or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Lamar Allen for that matter. Mahomes, how often does he rush? This is Andy Reid's guy. 7 attempts a game, 3.5, 3.8, 3.1, 4.1, 3.9, 3.6, 4.7, 3. Like, never less than 3 attempts a game per, for a season. on average. Those are big plays. A big reason the Niners lost the Super Bowl is because Mahomes ran 9 times for 66 yards. He was their running game. He was their leading rusher in that game. Mahomes. Pacheco did jack shit in that game. 18 carries for 59 yards and a fumble. If Mahomes didn't run, they lose. Simple as that. If Mahomes played that game like Purdy did, they fucking lose. So, I don't know what's going on with Brock. You got to run, man. I don't know who you're trying to, I mean, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to appease Kyle, who has a very, he wants you to play like Brian Greasy or something. Let's check out Brian Greasy. What did Brian Greasy do as a runner? Oh, man, I love this game. Brian Greasy. How many times a game did you scramble, Brian? Where you at? Okay. Even Brian Greasy. Okay. Brian Greasy, 99, first year as a starter, 3.3 attempts per game. Next year, 2.9, 3.3, 2.8. Even Brian Greasy would run more than you, dude. Come on, man. You're the playmaker. Prove it. You're not going to get $60 million a year playing like Jared Goff. A lot of those sacks are on you because you're standing still. Like a robot. He's starting to do the thing Jimmy did, man. Jimmy would just stand there like someone was playing Madden and dropped the controller, or the controller ran out of batteries. What's going on? Can't you think for yourself? You used to think for yourself. Now you're like, what did Kyle tell me to do? If I do that, if he keeps playing like this, they cannot pay him. I mean, they have a problem. If he keeps playing like this, he's getting worse, and he's a system quarterback, and Nick Wright's right about this guy. What's funny, I don't think Kyle's going to be able to get him out of this. This is on Brock. This is Brock's burden now. How do you want to play? Are you going to be like a people pleaser for Kyle? Or are you going to say, this is my career and it could go down the tubes right now if I don't make a decision about how I want to play? Oh, Kyle's going to chew me out if I don't throw the 7-yard out to Juwan Jennings and I actually extend the play and get the ball down the field. I'm the one on the field. I'm the one that has to live with these results. Dude, you want $60 million a year. You need to have some of that attitude, because Steve Young had it. Peyton Manning had it. Tom Brady had it. The attitude is, this is my freaking team. And Kyle, you're important. You drop the plays. I respect you. You're my coach, but it's my team, not yours. I'm more important than you. So whatever decision I make on the field is the right decision, because you've empowered me. I make more money than you. I'm going to be here longer than you. I'm the guy. So I appreciate your input and you putting me in positions to be success, but you don't ever second guess my decisions, because I'm the one in the heat of battle, not you. And frankly, Kyle, your decisions suck. You have demonstrated time and time again that you can't make decisions under pressure in the flow of a game, especially in the second half. You can't do it. So just let go and trust me. If he can't do that, then he's not the guy. And so far, through 2 games, he hasn't done it. He's got a long way to go. But that's the assignment for Brock. Step up. Channel some Steve Young right now, because you're playing like Jared Goff. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold's over in Minnesota playing like Steve Young. Noah Woods. 99 cents. Thank you very much, Noah Woods. This loss is alarming only because of Sam Darnold. I mean, look, Sam Darnold isn't good. We saw it. We know Sam Darnold. He threw that pick yesterday. It was awful. But you got to admit, the coaches in Minnesota have done a much better job managing their quarterback than the Niners did with Brock. They had Darnold on the move. They had the ball coming out of his hands. All with freaking Jalen Naylor and Ty Chandler and some tight end I've never heard of, and Justin Jefferson for a few quarters. Really good coaching staff over there in Minnesota. Boxing Fan Times 4 says, be a leader, go into business for yourself at times, says Boxing Fan Times 4. Okay, what is wrong with the 49ers passing game? The running game is really good right now. Jordan Mason, second leading rusher in the league after J.K. Dobbins, who had a very long run. Like right now, the most dominant running backs in the league, just in terms of sheer volume, are, him and Josh Jacobs. Hold on, let me get the rushing stats real quick. So Josh Jacobs, 248 carries, 235 yards. Jordan Mason, 48 carries, 247 yards and two touchdowns. So in terms of just sheer running the ball, it's hard to say anyone's better than Jordan Mason right now. Now, Alvin Kamara with the Saints, and I'm going to be talking about them extensively right now, is this year's Christian McCaffrey going crazy, both as a runner and as a receiver, four rushing touchdowns. Saints are a very interesting team. All of a sudden, Derek Carr is putting up Brock Purdy numbers from all of a sudden, Derek Carr, who's, how old is Derek Carr? Derek Carr, age 33, out of nowhere, having this career renaissance. I hard to even say it's a renaissance, but yeah, it's a who the hell is this guy? Throwing a Chris Olave and freaking Alvin Kamara, all of a sudden leads the league in quarterback rating. And Alvin Kamara is like the new, I mean, he's been good before, but he's been down for quite some time. He's 29 years old. All of a sudden, oh, this is going to be the offensive player of the year? Kamara? If he stays healthy, he's the new Christian McCaffrey. Well, what's going on over there? Why are the Saints so good so far? Well, roll with me on this one. Who's their offensive coordinator? Their offensive coordinator is a young man by the name of Clint Kubiak. And this young man, who's older than me, a couple years older, was the Niners passing game coordinator last year. And all I know is that when Clint Kubiak was on this staff, each of the last 2 years, I mean, when was Clint Kubiak, when did he come to the 49ers? Clint Kubiak, Wiki. He came to the 49ers in 2023. So he was just there for 1 year. Pass game coordinator, Brock Purdy leads the league in passer rating and touchdown percentage and yards per attempt. Now, Clint Kubiak over in New Orleans, Derek Carr leading the league in passer rating, touchdown percentage, yards per attempt. That is very interesting. That is very interesting. It almost seems like this Clint Kubiak guy, Gary Kubiak's son, is good. And I know you're thinking like, well, what are the odds? Mike Shanahan's son, Gary Kubiak's son, they're both good. Yeah, it seems like maybe this Clint Kubiak guy is like kind of like Kyle, you know, a guy who grew up around the sport. His dad was an all-time, you know, a Super Bowl winning play caller. And he's almost approaching 40. Like Clint Kubiak is right around the 38, I want to say. It's about the age that Kyle was, and he became the Niners head coach. So maybe he took the things that he learned from his dad and from Kyle, his experience with Brock and Christian McCaffrey, brought it down to New Orleans, and wow, it's making a big difference. Meanwhile, Niners don't have Clint anymore. Instead, they have Clay, Clint's little brother, Clay Kubiak, who was calling plays in the preseason, and now he's in charge of the Niners passing game. He's not technically a pass game coordinator. Clint had that title. Clay Kubiak is a passing game specialist, which feels like a step down because it's not a coordinator technically. I think if you're called a coordinator, you get more money and you're one step closer to becoming an actual play caller for the next team. Clay Kubiak is a specialist. And so far, his specialty doesn't seem so special, frankly. I mean, Purdy's number's down. Everyone's numbers are down except for Jordan Mason's. So it's possible that what has made Kyle so good is his coaching staff. he has this endless supply of good coaches who will work with him because, again, like, he knows his dad's system. He knows it better than anyone. And he has this network of coaches, again, through his dad and through Gary Kubiak, that all need to start, that all want to work with him. And that's great. But over time, they've gotten poached. I mean, one after another after another. And you don't have an endless supply of good coaches, although it seems like he had for years, right? I mean, half the league is populated with his former assistants. Give him credit. But now they're, I mean, Clint Kubiak's gone. Bobby Slowick's gone. Mike McDaniel's gone. A lot of guys are gone. And you got, what, 34-year-old Clay Kubiak in his first year as a pass game coordinator. You got Mick Lombardi, who was with Josh McDaniels in the past, doesn't come from this coaching tree.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At all. And, I mean, sacks are up. Yards per attempt are down. Touchdowns are way down. Efficiency is way down. I can't prove that the Niners, I mean, maybe it's all because Christian McCaffrey's hurt. And when he comes back, Clay Kubiak will prove to be a great passing game coordinator. And Brock Purdy will shoot back up to the top of the league in efficiency. But if he doesn't, it's fair to wonder how much of an impact the pass game coordinator had last year and what the drop-off is from one Kubiak to the next. Because why are the Saints so good? Where the hell is this coming from? Unless that offensive coordinator is actually really good. Possible. We'll see. It's two games in. Maybe I'm overreacting to a small sample size, but it does feel like the Niners passing game schematically isn't particularly good. Like in that game against the Vikings, where were the easy throws? Was there one easy throw in that game? Purdy struggled. Also, he made a ton of throws into tight windows. the completions he made were all like highly contested. Does that speak well of Clay and Kyle? Is Kyle really at the mercy of Clay in this one? Is Kyle only as good as his coordinators? Does he draw up plays or does he just call them? We know he puts the scripts together. And frankly, can we talk about that? The last two games, the scripts have been crap. Where the hell is it? Last year, the Niners almost always scored on their first drive. So it seems like someone who was heavily involved in the creative process is gone, and there's an impact, there's an effect. Again, maybe this is all because Christian McCaffrey's hurt. I guess we'll see. But it might also be because they lost a key member of their offensive staff. Don't you hate when you run out of coffee and you're like, couldn't there be more in here? But there isn't. It's all right. It's life. That's life. And in that spirit, I think we should check out a little BetUS action. See what's going on around the league. Let me just log in real quick so I can make some wagers here. And don't play with me. Don't play with me, BetUS. There you go. Okay. Football. Click in there. And then I'm going to go to week 3. Let's check out week 3. Okay. Where the Niners at? Here. 8-point favorites over the Rams. 8. Reasons for that. The Rams just got absolutely freaking smoked by the Cardinals, and they're very banged up. 2, the Niners usually beat the Rams. 3, a home game in LA is really a home game for the Niners. 8 points, though, for an offense that really isn't clicking. I don't know about that. Now, the Rams, here's the thing. The Rams can't stop the run unless let's dive into this. I'm curious. Rams stats. 8 points. The Rams can't stop the run. I'm looking. I'm seeing right now they are giving up 5.5 yards per carry. That's not even serious. 5.5 yards per carry they're giving up. Uh-huh. Okay. So they can't stop the run at all. They gave up 163 and a touchdown on the ground week 1, and then 231 and a touchdown on the ground, I believe, week 2. I don't know about the touchdowns, but the yards for sure. 163 week 1, 231 week 2 to Detroit and Arizona. Now you got Jordan Mason coming through. Like, I don't see how the Rams are going to stop Jordan Mason. Only thing is that the Niners don't have another running. Like, they want to run the ball 40 times. Arizona did that against the Rams yesterday. Niners could do it. They just don't have another running back to carry the ball. Like, Isaac Garendo can't do it, apparently. Patrick Taylor Jr. doesn't. I don't know why he's on the team. Brock Purdy won't run. Deebo Samuel doesn't do that anymore. So, yeah, they should win, but by 8? I don't know about that. That seems a lot. I'm going to say no. On principle, that's too much. No, sorry. Jacksonville and Buffalo, Jacksonville sucks for sure. What else we got? Dallas, Baltimore. Those two teams suck. Arizona and Detroit. That's an interesting game. Arizona and Detroit. Did Detroit lose at home last night? I want to know. Did Detroit lose at home? Yeah. Wow. Interesting. I kind of want to pick Arizona to win this game because I'm the biggest Arizona supporter. I'm the only person that thinks they're good. So I'm picking Arizona, not even to win, but to cover. Seattle and Miami. Yep, taking Seattle. Vegas and Panthers. Not touching that. No, I am touching that. Panthers are easy money right now. They suck. Tennessee. Green Bay. I'm taking Green Bay. I don't feel great about it, though. Tampa, I don't want to. Do I really want to bet on Malik Willis to win 2 games in a row? Like, why would I want to do that? Because I'm crazy. Denver, Tampa, 6.5. Yeah, Denver sucks. Cleveland and I'm not touching that. Chargers and Steelers. Yo, that's interesting. That is interesting. I think the Chargers go into Pittsburgh and win an ugly game. So let me put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to put $100, but they're going to limit me to whatever on each one. So whatever. The max. 100. 100. These are all the right picks, by the way. 100. Dang. 100. I made a heck of picks. 100. Okay, here we go. Place my bets. Risking 437 to win 402. I mean, you got to do that. That you can't pass that up. See what I'm saying? And in addition, go to BetUS and receive 150% bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,000 with code YouTube150. Okay, I got more things to talk about with the Niners. What's up with their defense, though? We're talking about their offense. It's not quite the same. Brock Purdy isn't the most efficient quarterback in the league anymore, but what's up with the defense? Let's get some stats for the defense, shall we? I think we freaking shall. Okay, 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 okay. SFO. Here we are. Defense. Currently ranked 15th in points allowed and 20th in yards allowed. That ain't great. Giving up 6.5 yards per play. Not good. Giving up 5 yards per carry. Horrendous. 25th in the league. And giving up a third down conversion rate of 59. Let me see. Hold on. Total defense. I want to get this. We're at ranks. Third down conversion percentage. Niners are 50. That's second worst in the league. Worse than Carolina. Worse than Carolina. Last year was 42, which was bad. And a big reason that Steve Wilks got fired. You have this great defense. How come you can't get off the field on third down? Oh, what did they say? Well, the pass rush and the coverage weren't tied together. Steve Wilks didn't understand how to tie it together. Nick Sorensen gets it. I never understood that. Like, Nick Sorensen was on Wilks' staff. You think Sorensen had the answers and just kept them to himself the whole year? And was like, Steve, you're on your own. Get fired. I'm going to take your job and then fix this thing that I could have been fixing you. Like, I'm on your team, but I'm going to hold out. Sorensen doesn't have the answers. It's getting worse. Run defense, getting worse. Third down defense, getting worse. Everything about the defense, getting worse. And they faced old-ass Aaron Rodgers and Sam Darnold so far. They're going to face better offenses than the ones they've faced so far. So there's a little trepidation about this Nick Sorensen, Brandon Staley, Frankenstein combination. And so far, it's fair to wonder, like, how has this made things better? The issues we saw under Steve Wilks last year are bigger issues now. Pass rush seems okay. I mean, Nick Bosa, great player. Fred Warner, great player. Tre'Davious Ward, usually a great player. Didn't have his best game yesterday, gave up a touchdown. But when he's challenged to shadow number one receivers, he does that very well. He rises to the occasion. They haven't asked him to do that yet. So it seems like teams are able to run the freaking ball whenever they want. Sam Darnold, I mean, quarterbacks can scramble. Backup running backs can average 8 yards a carry. Ask Ty Chandler. And in the passing game, you got so many guys you can target. The safeties, both of them. The number 3 corner, Yadam. The 2 linebackers who aren't Fred Warner. There's options. You just pretty much stay away from Warner and Lenore and Tre'Davious Ward as much as you can. Which still leaves you 2 linebackers, 2 safeties, and a corner. 5 potential coverage guys to go after. Just avoid 2. 3. I didn't count right. But you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't seem like they have a bunch of creative new pressures like the Vikings have. The Vikings had a million different pressures. And after the game, Brock Purdy was caught on mic going up to Brian Flores personally and saying, man, you got some crazy schemes. You think anyone's ever going to walk up to Nick Sorensen and say that? No offense to Nick, but no. No. And it seems like that's where the league is going defensively. Like, how many teams run a version of the 49ers offense? Like, how many teams have a head coach or an offensive coordinator who is somehow connected to the Mike Shanahan coaching tree? Like 20? At least? Almost all of them? Well, if that's going to be the dominant offense in the league in the 2020s, then this is going to be the dominant defense in the league. Not no more of that Pete Carroll, rush four, play conservative, zone defense, keep everything in front of you, don't give up the big play. Like, that's what the Niners do. That ain't it anymore. It's bring pressure. Bring pressure, bring pressure, bring pressure. As much rush five. Because the Niners, I mean, this system struggles picking it up. They have all this motion, pre-snap motion, that it's hard to set the protection because everyone's moving on offense and defense. If it were static, they would do a better job of picking up pressure. But if they were static, it'd be tougher for them to create holes in the running game and open receivers in the passing game. So they sacrifice pass protection for unpredictability. Anyway, we're talking about defense. It's fair to be concerned about Nick Sorensen at this point, man. You just made Sam Darnold look really good. And the only reason the Niners didn't give up 30 to the Vikings is because Fred Warner made one of the most incredible plays you will ever, ever see. That forced fumble at the goal line? Who makes that? Fred Warner probably makes that play 1 out of 100 times. That was like the hand of God coming down from heaven to punch that ball out. Had he not done that, that's a touchdown and the Niners lose 30-17. So it's hard to say that Nick Sorensen's doing great. Like, Fred Warner's doing great. Fred Warner's doing great. Fred Warner's having his best season. He's got 3 forced fumbles already. Like, he could win the defensive player of the year if he keeps this up. He gets another all pro this year. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got the longevity plus the, I mean, God. But that's not enough. It's not enough. Having Warner and Bosa and like Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave, Leonard Floyd, what the hell do they do? Are they good? They couldn't keep the quarterback in the freaking pocket yesterday. Can we get that? Like, what did Darnold do? Hold on. I want to get that. Here we go. Darnold ran 5 times for 32 yards. Purdy ran twice for 12. They both averaged 6 yards a carry. One guy just was actually like took the opportunities when they showed up. The other guy didn't. Another thing. When you bring pressure, this is something nice to talk about with Salah, because he doesn't like bringing pressure unless he absolutely has to. But one of the things I like about bringing pressure, even if you don't sack the quarterback, if the quarterback likes to scramble, it makes it harder to scramble. Because think about the offensive line, the gaps. If you rush 4, there's always going to be one gap that the quarterback can escape through, one of the B gaps. But as soon as you bring a 5th guy, everything is covered up. And it's hard to step up and out of the pocket, if not impossible. If everyone stays in their rushing lanes, you can't go up and out of the pocket. The only way to scramble against a 5-man rush is to run back and out. And if you got some 4-5 speed on the edge, which a lot of teams do, like, good freaking luck doing that. So the Niners don't like rushing 5. It's not really what they do. They want to play sound defense, whatever the hell that means. But forever, they've been getting gashed on the ground by mobile quarterbacks since the Harbaugh years. Never could ever contain Russell Wilson. Not never. Because they want to play sound defense and rush 4. Great, man. You got all your zones covered up. It's very hard to get those explosive plays through the air. You got a lot of checkdowns, but the quarterback can run. And he does. And it kills you in Super Bowls, in big games. You have third and long, and then boom. Malik Collins and Javon Hargrave run past the quarterback. Like, who do you think you are? Javon, you're going to have 5 sacks this year. Malik, you're going to have 4. One of you two needs to, like, have a controlled rush in the A-gap. Neither of you should be rushing past the quarterback. There was a play yesterday where both of them rushed past Sam Darnold. He was like, well, I guess I should just rush for 20 yards then. I mean, if they're just going to give it to me. So if the defense keeps struggling like this, are they going to move Nick Sorensen from the sideline to the booth, or are they going to do things? Because last year, Steve Wilks, I mean, he fell short of expectations because he took over the number one defense and it fell back to number 3 and wasn't great on third down, and they really humiliated him. They made him move around. They would blame him after games.
Oh, you know, the pass rush and the coverage just really isn't tied together.
Fired him after he did a good job in the Super Bowl because he couldn't stop him. He couldn't stop Mahomes in overtime. There were scrambles. I mean, okay, so it was all his fault. You get rid of him, bring in someone else who makes it worse. Are you gonna ignore it? You're gonna fire him? Are you gonna make Brandon Staley defensive coordinator? Like, it's early, but this guy should be on notice. So far, the defense has gotten worse. Statistically, it's not a good defense right now. Last thing, and then I'll take some more super chats. Let's talk about money. It's been the backdrop of the whole offseason. The IU contract, the Trent Williams contract, the Christian McCaffrey contract, and then next offseason, the Brock Purdy contract. How many of these deals actually pay off? Which players on the Niners currently getting paid big bucks, which ones are actually earning their contract? Which ones can you say this was a really good deal? The Niners got everything and more from their investment. Debo? No. Nick Bosa? No. Not yet. Javon Hargrave? Ha! No. Brandon Ayuk? Absolutely not. Trent Williams? Not this year. Christian McCaffrey? Not this year. George Kittle? He has. For $15 million a year to be that good of a tight end, I think he absolutely has earned his extension that he got, 4 years ago? Yes. Fred Warner? Abso-freaking-lutely. And then some. He's not getting paid enough. That's a guy who should be making $30 million a year. That's a $30 million a year impact, what Fred Warner does. I don't give a damn what position he plays. That's what that's supposed to look like. From professionalism to leadership to impact against the run, in all phases. That should be, it's your best player on your defense, your best player on your team. Yes, he's earning his contract. That's 2 of 8 guys. No on Debo, no on Ayuk, no on Christian, no on Trent. No on Bosa, no on Hargrave. That's 6 guys. Which brings us to Brock. They could give him $60 million a year and say, we like Brock. He's our franchise quarterback. Just ignore the fact that, you know, his numbers fall off when he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey or Debo, or when he has 5 all pros around him instead of 6, his numbers are way different. Ignore all that and just hope that this is the right deal. I mean, you could do that, but then you end up like, there's a lot of teams that regret giving these contracts out. A lot of teams. Right now, it seems like the only teams that really feel good about their quarterback contracts are Buffalo and Kansas City. Are the Ravens really feeling good about what they're paying Lamar Jackson? I mean, yeah, he won an MVP last year, but he sucks in the playoffs, and they're 0-2. the Chargers still figuring out whether it's worth it to spend all that money on Justin Herbert. I mean, Joe Burrow's supposed to be great, but he can't stay healthy, and they just lost again. Are they 0-2? They're 0-2. So, yeah, they could give him $60 million and just become a mediocre to bad team and say, but we got our quarterback. If he's going to finish this season with, like, modest numbers, right now his quarterback rating is 96. If that's where he ends up this year in, like, Gardner Minshew, Geno Smith territory, I mean, he ain't getting $60 million. If he's going to be among the league leaders in sacks and he's not going to run, he's going to be looked at as a system quarterback who had a good year and couldn't sustain it. For whatever reason, Clint Kubiak left, Christian McCaffrey got hurt, he got figured out, Kyle got figured out, whatever. Whatever the excuse is, he ain't going to get the money. So I don't know. I mean, for him to show that he's actually worth $60 million, I don't know. I don't think he is. I don't know what he could do. Play like last year, man. Like, actually ad lib, make some plays. Because right now, it's looking like he's making, in terms of big plays, more bad ones than good ones. Darnold was the opposite yesterday. Darnold's earning his deal with the Vikings. Baker Mayfield's earning his deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Derek Carr's earning his deal with the Saints. And Brock is absolutely earning his deal with the Niners because he's making minimum wage. But if he were making $60 million right now, people would be freaking out about what he's doing. That's what people don't realize. The perception around players changes so fast. Like, when Ayuk was on his rookie deal last year, everyone talked about the future with him. Oh my God, think about how he's still improving. And as soon as you get paid the money and you have one bad game, everyone's like, well, he's not worth it. You're not thinking about improvement or upward trajectory anymore. He's there. He's in his prime. This is it. And he can't deliver. That Ayuk deal looks atrocious, man. $30 million a year for a guy who had one good year. One special year. And it seems like, in retrospect, his special year coincided with Christian McCaffrey being the offensive player of the year. Maybe, just maybe, a wide receiver who specializes in getting open down the field really benefits from a check down running back who draws all the attention to the pass coverage. Maybe. Maybe once you take Christian McCaffrey off the field and the eyes actually go to Brandon, it's like, this is who you are. Because that's the situation that Justin Jefferson's in. It's not like when Justin Jefferson's on the field in Minnesota, the defense is like, yeah, but we got to stop Aaron Jones today. Fuck Justin Jefferson. We got to stop Aaron Jones today. No. But that's how defenses approach the Niners. They're like, Brandon who? Brandon 11? I mean, the DB coach for the Chiefs couldn't even pronounce his name. Called him Brandon Acko. Dave Merritt. Niners interviewed him to be their defensive coordinator. Probably should have got him, frankly. They're not worried about Brandon Ayuk. And that's why he did so well, because teams weren't worried about him. Now you give him $30 million a year, Christian McCaffrey goes down. It's like, okay, well, that's the guy. And so far, he's like, MIA. The most productive receivers this year on the team in terms of quarterback rating when targeted, 1, Kittle. 2, Jennings. 3, Debo. 4, Ayuk. Those are the most expensive third and fourth options in the league, baby. Really, the Niners, I said this in the offseason, between Kittle and Jennings, you have two really good receivers who earn their freaking deals. They're giving you more than what you pay for. Two receivers. Is it really smart to spend $55 million a year on two more who can't beat man-to-man coverage? What are you paying for? What are you paying for with Brandon Ayuk? If you're paying $30 million for a receiver, it's for times like this. Oh, your running back went down? Well, that happens to every team. Running backs go down all the time. Good thing we have this legit number one wide receiver who can we could throw the ball to 20 times in a game if we had to. That's not him. Can't do that. So, yeah. All these deals are going to really come back to hurt the Niners. And maybe you don't care that they're going to lose Tre'Davious Ward and Diamondre Lenore next year because the Niners' defense wasn't that great last night. But Mr. Funny Funny says, seems to me, without the pass threat of CMC out of the backfield, it will be easier for good defense to blanket our other skill players who can't separate on their own other than B.A., who is extremely rusty. Also, B.A. is not like separating quickly on like short routes. It's intermediate and deep. It takes time. So if he's going to be your answer, and it's like when the defense brings pressure, you got to throw hot routes. You can't wait for a guy to get 15 yards downfield. You're under pressure already. So who's getting open quick? Cowing? Shady Luke says, people forget Alvin Kamara has been an elite pass catcher ever since he's been drafted. Lack of offensive coaching after Peyton affected him. And injuries. Agree. Richie says, this loss is bad. It's showing that Kyle Shanahan still hasn't evolved from previous shortcomings like playing from behind, play design, and force feeding Debo. Agree. Fish and Chips, member for 13 months. Thank you, Fish and Chips. Says, why does Kyle Shanahan comment like he wasn't at the game after? Because he's detached. Corey Soto says, early, but Purdy doesn't look like a franchise quarterback. He shouldn't need CMC to play well. Jimmy looked good without CMC. If this continues, do not extend this guy. I do think it's definitely it reflects poorly on Brock, but also Kyle. He's really been leaning on this guy for all of his ideas and productivity the last couple of years. Jeff Caravella says, Warner, Kittle, Mitch, best big contracts. Mitch, Tre'Davious earning his two. Yes, I would say Tre'Davious is two. How did I forget that? Blazenhan says 49ers pass catchers got the least separation in the entire NFL week two. That's tough. Blaming Purdy, who still put up 300 and 101 rating. It's Kyle. See, I agree with that. That part is on Kyle. The inability to get someone open, dude. Like, is that in New Orleans now? Because in New Orleans, they're getting people open. Clint Kubiak doing a great job. You're not. So Purdy did a good job as a passer to like just complete some passes despite having no one open, but you are responsible for a lot of these sacks. Yes, they're coverage sacks. Yes. But against man-to-man coverage, you got to run. You got to run more than twice. Have to. You should never run fewer than three times in a game, man. Especially if you're losing. You can't go out like that. Herbie Holland. Nick Bosa contract worse. He does nothing to change the game. He's not TJ Watt or Max Crosby. He's not Fred Warner either. He's making a lot more money than Fred Warner, which is wrong. Anyway, that's it. I got to check out of this hotel like now. I'll find another place to set up, do my work for the day, and stream Orion in a couple of hours. So thanks for watching, and take care.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.